If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, everybody. I have so enjoyed this morning already. We can all just go home. I love watching people's faces when they walk into the sanctuary and their face just twists. We want to let you know that worship is still going to be here, and then we'll be preaching and everything else will be over on that side wall. And so some of you who think you're sitting in the back row are actually this week in the front row. For worship anyways. Amen? So if you'd like to worship, come forth to here. If you want to sit with your R, just turn around a little bit. If you're a guest, we want you to know that we do this periodically because we don't want you to get used to yesterday. It's time to grab a hold of your today and your tomorrow. Amen? Are you ready to worship? We just got back from Brother Ted Shuttlesworth's West Virginia camp meeting. Oh my goodness, it was so powerful. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, without you here, it means nothing. So God, permeate, saturate, overwhelm us, overcome us with your presence and your power. We release the anointing of the Holy Ghost to change lives today. That God, you'll be glorified, lifted high, and your name will be declared in this place. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's worship together.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you formed. Faith commanded, and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Impossible things
in your name, they shall be done.
Sing Unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Impossible things
in your name, they shall be done. Let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Sing Unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God. Let your glory go on and on.
Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Impossible things in your name, they shall.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable.
We'll shout your praise.
unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Come on, sing it out. Impossible things.
Impossible things. In your name they shall be done.
Sing unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God,
let your glory go on and on. Impossible things.
Impossible things. In your name they shall
Let's
be
go
done.
Back to the bridge.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore.
Sing it out, nothing.
Nothing shall be impossible.
Cause your kingdom
reigns.
Yes, I'll shout your praise forevermore.
Jesus, our God.
Come on, last time, nothing.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Sing impossible things.
Impossible things. In your name they shall be done.
Sing unstoppable God.
Unstoppable God,
let your glory go on and on.
Impossible things in your name they shall be done.
Hallelujah. Who knows our God is unstoppable? Who knows our God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think? If you know it, just shout the name Jesus. Come on, somebody say, God, you are good. Sing, Lord, you are good. Because he is, right? Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Sing it out.
Sing, Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, cause you've been so good.
Sing that out.
You've been so good.
Lift your hands and sing it out. Sing, Lord.
Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life.
I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough.
Even
if I try, cause you've been
so good.
So good to me.
Hallelujah. Hasn't he been good? Come on and sing this out. One more time. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good.
You've been so good.
You've been so good.
Sing, Lord, you are good.
You are good.
You've been
better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if
on and sing this out. Sing, Lord, you are good. Hallelujah.
Lord, you are good.
You have been so good.
Been so good.
Yes, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good.
You've been better.
Oh, I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough.
Even if I try. So good.
So good.
Sing,
you have been
so good.
So good.
Sing,
you have been
so good.
So good.
To me.
To me.
So many doors you've opened. So many ways you've made. So many times you feel me, you've been better than good to me.
So many doors you opened, so many ways you made,
so many times
you feel me,
you've been better than good to me.
So many doors you opened, so many ways you made,
so many times
you feel me.
Moving in our midst.
worship Jesus.
He's
working in your life right now. Wherever your need is, tell him. Come on. Jesus.
I worship you. You are here. You are here.
Jesus.
Moving in I worship you.
Some are standing in this room today, Jesus, and they've been given a diagnosis. Some have been standing in this room, and God, the banks are knocking on their door. Some are standing in this room, and the relationships are falling apart. But God, you are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. God, this is not about religion. You are alive, Jesus, and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Miracles are normal, God, for you. Father, we thank you that they're normal for us. We call those things which are not as though they already are. We command them to come into existence by the power and the word in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that we are not weak, but we are strong. And God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, we thank you. You're the way maker, that miracle worker. God, when there doesn't seem to be any light, you bring light into the darkness. Shout this morning, your miracle worker brings light into your darkness. It doesn't matter what struggles you're going through. It's time to trouble your trouble. Can I hear an amen? Time to look at the devil in the face and let him know you're not afraid. Fear has no place in your life. Turn to someone and say, I'm never going to allow fear to have a place in my life. Come on, tell somebody else, I'm never going to allow fear to have a place in my life. Why don't you go find five or six folks you don't know, shake their hand and say, good morning. I'm never going to allow fear to be participant in my life. This might be a great time for you to find a new spot, a little bit closer. Get in the spit zone this morning.
We're doing a missions trip to New York City in June. The dates are the 20th to the 23rd, and we're going to be doing ministry to the homeless. We'll be doing soup kitchens. We'll do street ministry. We are very excited for this. If you have an interest, there's going to be an informational meeting April 29th at 1:30 in Classroom 1.
Hi, ladies. I'd like to personally invite you to the Women's Day Brunch coming up May 12th at the Hilton Garden Center. The cost is $20 per lady, and we're having a 1920s roaring 20s theme. So you can get your flapper dresses or anything from that era, dress up, come out and have a great time. Even if you don't want to dress up, you are all welcome. The seats do fill up fast, so please make sure you come and see us in the foyer at the Hub after service. Look forward to celebrating you.
Well, we're having our Uproar Talent Show at the Wings of Eagles Warplane Museum. This is going to be May 4th at 6:30 p.m. You're going to be able to support conference. You're going to have a great night with your friends or maybe even a date. And I want to encourage you, you can get your tickets right now via our website, theuproar.org, and make sure you're here with a friend to support conference. Hey, have you joined a group yet? Listen, we want you to join a group.
because we have these available to help our family get connected. We want you to make sure that you're growing in relationship with Jesus as well as with our family. We actually have the opportunity to become a part of something larger. So you can go online at histabernacle.com/groups and sign up to join a group today.
You should join my group.
Hey y'all, baptisms are happening May 20th. If you want to get baptized, make sure you sign up at histabernacle.com/baptism. Pastor Dan, what are you doing?
I'm swimming!
Okay.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How many of you love the change in the house this morning? Some people are liars. Some people really love change. One thing that never changes in this house is the fact that we love to invite the presence of God into this place. And I love that God always shows himself living and active anytime we come together in worship and the Word together. And so we would like to welcome you this morning. Thank you so much for making it a point to come out in the midst of prayerfully the last snow we have to come and worship Jesus. We also would like to welcome our live stream audience. We love you so much. Thank you for joining with us today. We would like to recognize any guests in the house this morning. If you're a guest, would you just raise your hand? We would love to give you a gift, and it is a great gift. Do we have any guests? Oh, right back here, we have some guests. Guests over here on the left-hand side. Any other guests? We have a guest right over here. Any other guests in the house? Put your hands up, keep them up so that we can get you a gift. Right back here. We have some guests right back here. And then we have a guest over here. Directly after service, we have a guest reception that we would love to invite you to. It's an opportunity for you to meet the pastors, ministers, staff, enjoy some refreshments and treats. We really believe in getting to know one another. We're about relationships. So just come right over to this side of the building behind you all this week, and we would love to be able to meet with you. Now, I don't know if you realize, but the hottest event happening here at His Tabernacle happens this Friday, and it is the Youth Group Talent Show, the Uproar Talent Show. Friday, May 4th, in case you don't know what the date is, 6:30 p.m. It will be at the Wings of Eagles Discovery Center. And if you are interested in coming to that, you just want to come directly out to the hub today and make sure that you get your tickets. This is supporting what I would call a group of people that revolutionize the future of our community. It's supporting not really just the future, but even those kids that are ministering today. You have no idea about the ministry that occurs in the schools while you're at work all day with your children. You have no idea the change that Uproar has made in the lives of the kids in this city. And this is an opportunity for us to take back what the devil tries to steal every single day. So make sure that you come out and support the talent show. Also, I would love to encourage you to get involved with a group. If you are not building a relationship with other Christians today, then we're not being the Acts Church. The Acts Church met together daily. So we would encourage you to get involved with a group. You can find out more information about that at the hub. And that's what I have for announcements today. We have a lot of great things going on. I would like to invite Pastor Rhonda up for our tithes and our offerings.
Amen. This is one of my favorite times to share with all of you from the Word of God. And I want to read to you a scripture this morning. First, the first scripture I want to quote is, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And knowledge is understanding. So that is why we bring the Word of God to you in this house, because we want you to accelerate, not to perish because you have a lack of understanding. So you are brilliant for coming to the house of God and gaining understanding about the Word. Let's read 3 John 1:2. And it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul, your emotions, your intellect, your will," that's your understanding, "even as your understanding prospers." So as your understanding increases, so will your prosperity and your health. Amen. So that is why we bring the word of God to you weekly regarding tithes and offerings, so that your understanding can increase. Therefore, your prosperity and your health will also increase. Malachi 3:8-9, it tells us to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse and test him in this. See if he will not open the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourer. You know, we quote that all the time, but we don't read any further than that. Let me today read a little bit further than that. It says, if you do not tithe, you are cursed with a curse. That's not my words. That's understanding from the word of God. Malachi 3, go ahead and read it for yourself. We don't want our finances under any kind of curse. But as we gain understanding from the word of God and obey the word of God, we will increase in our prosperity and we will increase in our health. Amen. That's what we want to walk in. We want to walk in that supernatural finance. You know, the more of the word of God we get in us, the more understanding, the less we walk according to natural structure. Amen. We don't function according to natural financial principles. The more understanding of the word of God, the more supernatural finance we get to walk into. So I love every time there's an offering message. I love every time someone is talking on prosperity and finance, because as our understanding increases on it, you can get excited about knowing that your prosperity also will increase in that thing. So every time somebody stands up and starts speaking on finance, don't shut your ears off. Open your ears up and listen and gain understanding. So today, are you ready to give your tithes and offerings? Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration together. And again, this is the word of God. As we speak it every single week, our understanding goes up and up. And it says, if you would repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. Blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Okay, today with the change, we have offering buckets on the end, on the end, either side and up front in the middle. So make your way to one of those locations and bring your tithe and offering to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, it's a lot easier for you. You can do the same thing you do every week. Click on the giving button and give right along with us, or even text to give.
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith committed and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable.
shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Praise the Lord. I'm very excited today. It's been a long time since we've twisted you up, hasn't it? For those who haven't been here long, we'll do this every once in a while. I think my favorite position was when we had all the chairs in a big circle and I was in preaching out of the middle. People hated me more than they've ever hated me before. You know what is amazing to me, and the reason that we did this is because we're talking about how our yesterdays destroy our today. Is some of you really struggled with today? I want you to know the joy that I had in helping you with that. My favorite one was this. And the individual stood there. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Some of you walked in here, you walked in late. You should never walk into his tabernacle late. You just don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you don't know. Maybe the altar will be this way next week. You don't want to walk in late. But what's interesting is recognizing how so many of us get in our own little cycles. And we have our chairs. We have our seats. This is my place. I've been sitting here for 422 years, glory to God. I remember I was in a church down in Pennsylvania. I was an evangelist. I was preaching the gospel. And just as I stood up to preach, in walked an older couple. And they walked to the back of the sanctuary. They came in the back. They walked to the last row. And there was a young couple sitting in the last row on your left. And they were sitting there. And this couple walked over to them and went like this. I mean, they were really bent out of shape. They were actually angry, and they left. They turned around and left the church. They didn't even hear me preach. Oh, my goodness. I said to the pastor after I was joking, I said, did you see that old couple? Man, they were so mad. Somebody sat in their seat. There was a guest. They sat in their seat. They left. He goes, yeah, it was my parents. We all get in this mode, man, where we live so much in our yesterday and in our comfort that the moment something switches up, and let me tell you something, God has never stopped moving. God has never stopped moving forward. We talked about time, how time never stops and stands still. Actually, only twice in the scripture. Other than that, time is marching on. Yet we lay hold of our yesterday so tightly that we don't want to move into what God's future is for us. And so I'm just really, my heart jumps for joy as I realize how bothered some of you are. The last time we did this, some people left the church. I'm good with that. You know, we don't want anybody to leave. But the fact is that we're not going to stop moving. We're not going to reach a certain number of people and say, well, I guess the church is large enough. There are too many people not going to heaven. Can I hear an amen? What God has planned for you is so dynamic, so powerful, so real. Yet if we remain in our yesterday, we'll never lay hold of or apprehend our tomorrow that God has for us. You know, the verse we've been declaring is found in Psalms 118, verse 24. And it says, this is the day the Lord has made. He made yesterday, but it's gone. Turn to someone and say, yesterday is gone. Isn't there a song for that? Do you know that song? I don't know that song. Here, let's move on. This is the day. Shout, this is? That's present. Do you know another time we see this in the scriptures found in the book of Hebrews? When it's talking about description of faith. Now faith is. It's what it is at this moment. You see, we can live on yesterday's faith, but it will never get us to where we need to go. Manna was new every morning in when the children of Israel were in the desert place. You see, God has newness for you. He has today for you. Some of you, this is the closest you've ever sat to the spit zone in your entire life, and you're going to find, I like it. It's so imperative that you and I lay hold of this reality that our yesterday, if we're living in it, then we will never move forward to what God's plan is for us in the future. We talked about it last week a little bit. A day holds 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes, 24 hours, and then it's done. You know somebody has problems when they always are reminiscing. The good old days. Well, you know, I liked it when God moved it this way back when. Listen, let me tell you something. God has never stopped moving. I remember once I preached at a church, and it was up in northern Maine, and the power of God was just released, and the prophetic was just moving in that place. Damascata, I think the name of it. Where's my sister? Is that the name of the place? Damascata? Damascata, preaching the gospel there, and man, it was powerful. It was just an enormously strong outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Well, after I went out with the pastor, and he says, "Well, brother, I'll never have you back." And I said, "Okay." I says, "Any reason in particular?" He said, "No one laughed in the spirit." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, you know, God's been moving in the joy of the Lord and laughing in the spirit." And I said, "Yeah, God was doing that about 5 years ago." Some of you have laid hold of what God has done, but not what God is doing in your life. Therefore, your yesterday is holding you back from your today, and you'll never reach your tomorrow. God is not looking back and reminiscing of the past. He reminds us of our past because it will show us where we should not be and what we should not do, or how good He is, placing a memorial in our life to say, if God did it yesterday, God can do it today. For God never fails us. He's always moving forward, and greatness is inside of Him and is inside of you. You see, when you and I lay hold of these principles, we have problems. And today, the joy of doing this, I called up Pastor Dan. I said, "Change the sanctuary around." He goes, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes." Why? Because so many of us, we simply, you know, this is human nature. It's human nature to like what is comfortable in our lives. It's human nature to make sure that we lay hold of and can control our lives. But the truth is simple. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care how tall you are, how muscular you are. I don't care if you're the matriarch or patriarch. The fact is not one of us can control our world. It can shift tomorrow, change tomorrow. It can change today before the service is over. And everything that you thought you controlled is now sweeping away from you. It's time to lay hold of that God is the God of the now. Your comfort level is a lie, and we must move forward to the future that God has planned for us. I'm going to say it one more time. Your comfort level is a lie. The only comfort there is in Jehovah Shalom. God, our peace. In Him we live and move and have our being. When we understand this principle, then the things around us aren't what change us. The things around us aren't what impacts us. What changes us is that the God living inside of us has the capability of calling nothing into something. That the God inside of us says that we can walk on water if we have to. That we can call those things which are not as though they already are. We live in the supernatural because we're supernatural people. Because the supernatural God, literally, not figuratively, dwells inside of us. Come on, can I hear an amen this morning? This is the issue with our yesterday. Thank God we had yesterday. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus, for yesterday. What the great part about yesterday is you can praise God for your yesterday. You can remember what He's done for you. Because if He did it once, He'll do it again. Amen? Some of you said, I want to forget yesterday. It was a bad day. Truthfully, we've got to say this. It really doesn't matter what yesterday did. Because if we allow yesterday to change our today, then we're governed more by the past than by our now. And many live in this realm. They live here. Well, you know, yesterday was just a bad day. They go to work thinking that today is going to be just like yesterday. God gave us a sunrise to show us that there's new life every single morning. His mercies are new every morning. Yet we'd rather live in yesterday's condemnation. We'd rather live in yesterday's hardships. We'd rather live, even if it's bad, if you could control it because of your mindset, it's more power to you. And I want you to know it's all a lie. Because you can't change yesterday. It's dead time. Remember, we gave the definition last week about how the time, when it's gone, it's gone. Why would you want to live in something that you have no life in? Why would you want to stay in a place where there's only death? We must make a decision that I have the God who created the heavens and the earth living inside of me. I have the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I have the word of God that says I can call those things which are not as though they already are. I can walk by faith and not by sight. I am not weak, but I am strong. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not walking around with a crutch. We are the crutch. We're the church that people who need Christ, people who want Christ can come and have their sins washed away. We are the body of the living God. We are the place called the supernatural, where bodies are healed, minds are healed, where lives are changed. This is who we are. You see, this is why living in the past will never change someone's future. Where you live determines where somebody else will end up. When you live in the past, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. So when you and I are living only in the past, what ends up happening is this. Everybody around us is only going to hear what God had done in the past, but not what he's going to do in your future. Therefore, you're not walking by faith. Therefore, you're walking the same way the world is, only by sight. The difference between a believer and an unbeliever is that we can step out on nothing to land on something. That we have vision and we have growth in front of us because we know that God will bless us and not curse us. Sinners have the same thing. Sadly enough, I've seen sinners have more faith than Christians. We've got to make some shifts in our lives, amen? Some of you like yesterday so much that today you're still bothered and having a hard time hearing this message. Good. I might have all the chairs upside down next week. You just don't know. If you are our guest, we want you to know that usually the whole sanctuary is aiming this way. The last time I shifted this up was 4 years ago. Been 4 years since I shifted up the sanctuary. So some of you, this is like shock. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. There's another part of yesterday that actually destroys your future. And it's your beliefs. As a man thinks, so he is. Whether you realize it or not, so every one of us have a level or a principle of belief system. Every one of us has been brought up in different homes, different moms, different dads, some moms, some dads, some moms only, some dads only, some no moms or dads. You've been brought up in a Catholic church, a Presbyterian church, an Episcopalian church, a Lutheran church, a Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, the First Baptist church of the second generation. We can go through all the different names of the churches. You know, you were disciplined one way, your spouse was disciplined another way, and you had food, you didn't have food, your parent was an alcoholic, your parent was a born-again Christian that loved Jesus. We're all brought up so differently. And what's amazing is we have created in our own hearts, in our own lives, a belief system. We live our lives according to our belief systems. Well, I don't believe in God. My parents didn't believe in God. My father's an atheist. I'm an atheist. And my kid will be an atheist. It's a belief system that is ushered generationally. That is why being a mom and dad is so powerful. Because you are raising the next generation to either be people of faith or to be people that will never move forward with God. You see, whatever your belief system is what always struggles with the Word of God. I really want you to see, I want this to sink in. The greatest problems you have is when your beliefs collide with God's. My uncle was a missionary in Sanitaire, Canada, which is way up there. Now, I went there one time, and the last city is called Val d'Or. And then you have 180 miles of dirt roads, nothing else. It's, of course, it's French. And when you get to Val d'Or, the one thing you realize is that they don't like Americans. I was asking for a hot dog. Couldn't even get a hot dog because I couldn't say it in French. They didn't have cell phones back then. So here we are. We travel 170 some odd miles up the dirt road. We get to Sanitaire, Canada. And I'm talking to my uncle. And he was an ex-Hell's Angel. Big man, 6'5", 6'6", Uncle, what was his name? Uncle Gary, thank you. He really wasn't our uncle. See, that's the problem. I grew up in a church where everybody was so family that everybody was uncle and aunt, and you weren't really sure who was. I remember in Gardner, Massachusetts, when Uncle Eddie got slain in the Holy Ghost, he went out in the Spirit, he went over backwards, and his head hit the wooden pew. All you heard was, thump, and you were waiting for him to be dead. But when God touches you, there is no harm that comes to your body. Amen? God will only bless you and not curse you. Well, anyways, Uncle Eddie's up there. So we get up to Uncle Eddie, and he starts telling you he's been shot at 4 or 5 times. Why? Because they let him know very clearly, Indian way, because it was a Native American, not a Native, it was an Indian settlement. He said, they shoot at me because Indian way to them is above God's way. So they literally would shoot at him. You might not shoot at me with your bullets. You might not shoot at God with bullets. But you shoot at God the same way when your beliefs collide with God's beliefs. Your philosophies don't line up with God's truth. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. Not your philosophies. Not your ideologies. I thought when I was down at Brother Ted's, I preached down there at the camp meeting this week. I thought I made up a word, but it was actually in the dictionary. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was kind of sad because I thought it was a new word. As your pastor, my job is not to give you my opinion. My job is to give you the word. Amen? That's why if you come and you sit down with your pastor, if you've ever done any kind of counseling with the pastor, you'll never hear me give my opinion because my opinion really doesn't matter. My opinions were generated out of what? Out of how I was raised or the circumstances that have happened in my life. Do you realize that some of you have negated God's supernatural power because of an experience you had in your life? That some of you are mad and angry, especially like when Pastor Ron is standing up and receiving an offering. In your mind, you get mad when you start talking about money, but you don't have a problem when you go to the bar and they say, listen, and you call for a highball, right? Is that what it's called? Highball. Never been drunk. Is that what they call it, Mindy? Order a highball. She's got a testimony. You go up to the bar, you belly up to the bar, order a highball, and he says, that'll be $5. Well, what is this, all about money here? I don't understand. Why do you always want money in the bar? Shouldn't I just get a drink for free? You've known me forever. You walk up to a Walmart, you get a cart full, of groceries, and you walk up and you and it's getting ready to go through the line, and they say that will be $542. And you look at them and say, "What do you mean? I have stock in Walmart. I have stock. Shouldn't I get it for free?" You wouldn't even think about that. It wouldn't be a contemplation. But yet, because, come on, of a gut theology that was placed within you because of somebody else's words or somebody else's experiences, the moment that we start talking about God's word, I said God's word, not a church's word, about how God wants you to be blessed, how God wants you to prosper, how God wants you to be accelerated in your finances, you get bent out of shape. It's called gut theology. And you see, what's happened is, this is what destroys the word of God. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start with verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the... Oh, that's right. We aren't aimed towards the screens. You might need to bring your Bible next week. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to Jesus, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw that some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all that, you notice I paused there, right? Because some of you found fault with me this morning because I changed the chairs around. Come on now, you make me happy. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come to the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and the scribe asked Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions, a way of life, the way it should be in your own mind? Why according to the traditions of the elders eat bread and with unwashed hands? And Jesus answered and said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? Jesus, help us all. Love. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines, truth, the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold traditions of men. The washing of pitchers, cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, Jesus said this, here it goes, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. Verse 13, making the word of God, by shout the word of God. Now, I want you to hear what you're saying. You're not saying the word of man. You're not saying the word of a church. You're not saying the word of a religion. You're saying the word of, come on now, the word of, I can't hear you. The word of, now he is either your God, which means owner, Adonai, owner. The word of the owner. The word of the creator. The word of the engineer of the entire planet and the entire universe. He said, let there be, and there was. And he says this, I love Jesus. He says, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. And let me tell you how many people, they literally cancel God's word over their traditions. Some of you struggled with it this morning. You came into church. You were used to the tradition, a way that things are done. You were used to the tradition of the sanctuary hanging this way. That's tradition. What would happen if this building burned down tomorrow? Do you not go to church anymore? We did set up a tent. We don't want to do that again, dear Jesus. That was not fun. It was a bad tradition. But my question is simple, because we all have to be confronted. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. Listen, every time before I ever preach this message to you, God's already dealing with me. What are the traditions that I have in my life that nullify, that cancel God's word, which is truth? Which means that I actually self-sabotage my life with a tradition rather than grabbing a hold of truth that will propel me into the future. Well, Pastor, I just don't believe that. Somebody said that not too long ago. We're talking about sin. Well, I don't consider that sin. I don't care whether you consider it sin or not. You're not truth. You're a tradition. A tradition has been generated in your head that is anti-truth. And when you hang on to the anti-truth, you still want God's blessing. I'm all by myself now. I feel all alone up here. Thought we were a Pentecostal church. See, this is the power of the message that's even being preached today, is each one of us have our own traditions of life. And we actually will believe them stronger than the word. And because we do that, we make God's word, here's what the scripture said, Jesus said this, red letter edition. He said, you make the word of God of no effect, which simply means this, you and I have the ability to cancel the supernatural power of God and to harness heaven from moving in our lives with the traditions of our own minds. Whew. Listen now, I told you better bring a fork and knife today. Because this is confrontational. Some of you have lived the same way and, well, you know, I just don't believe that, Pastor. I don't believe that's a sin, Pastor. We had dealt with one just recently about dealing with homosexuality and somebody got very angry. Listen, homosexuality is a sin. Just like lying's a sin. Well, at least that's not as bad as the other sin. Sin is sin is sin. You see, we've created a tradition in our mind that says that one sin is worse than another sin, but the same sin will still send you to the same place. Well, I won't be at least in the worst place of hell than them. How do you know? Well, lying's not as bad as that sin, really. The Bible says that Jesus called Satan the father of lies. Means you hanging out with your daddy. Isn't it amazing, though, how our minds will validate our own traditions to make ourselves happy? Well, Pastor, this isn't a sin. Really? But the Bible says clearly it is a sin. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. It's dark. It's dark because you are making God's word of no effect and you're actually legitimizing a sin and saying that God's okay with it, which is contrary to the very nature of heaven. But we have to lay our heads down at night so we validate our own heart. But those traditions will kill you. Those traditions will nullify the word of God. Those traditions will keep you from God's best. Those traditions will keep you from your today and your future and the vision and the destiny of why you're on this planet. We have got to come to a conclusion in our own mind and our own hearts that the traditions of old can never stand on the same platform as the word of God. Well, Pastor, that's not how I was taught. Oh, my goodness. I can't tell you how many people have said it to me. The Bible teaches clearly it's always God's will to heal. Not sometimes, always. But how many pastors are standing behind the pulpit preaching, well, you know, God put that on you to teach you some spiritual good. How many pastors are standing up saying, well, you know, you'll get healed when you cross into heaven. Really? Well, then you're really not healed. You do know that, right? When you get to heaven, you're not healed. When you get to heaven, you're whole. There's a difference. you know, Pastor, I just don't know if I can believe, and, you know, I'm not sure if really God wants that person healed. Listen, you know what that means? You've taken somebody else's teaching, and you said, God's word, man's teaching. I believe what somebody has told me above the word. That's why you should not sit down. I was so proud. Listen, Robin, I was so proud of you. I know I voiced that to you. I was so proud. I preached a message about 4 weeks ago that stirred up the crowd. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. And some people had questions. And you know what? I'm one who, I love your questions. And I'm good with you not agreeing with me. Because if I'm making the statement of my own and I can't back it up with the word, then it means nothing. And so Robin confronted me. I was so proud of Robin. I said to my wife, that's my girl now. Come on now. Why is that? Because she said, Pastor, I'm not sure if I believe that. I'm not sure if I can see that. And so I had to go back and rework the word of God to make sure that I wasn't giving my own tradition or position, but that I was actually giving the word of God. You see, every one of us need to recognize you can't just take carte blanche what somebody else has to say. You've got to look it in the word of God. The word of God is our rule. The word of God is what governs us, not a man's traditions, not your religion. Well, my religion doesn't say that. I could give a flying leap about what your religion says. I care what the word of God says. Because if it's not the word of God, it's the word of man. And let's be honest, men screw things up. Amen. The Bible is very clear concerning this. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What's righteousness? Righteousness is how to live right. Listen now, we all know this with our traditions. We will validate ourselves right into believing something that's not true. The greatest deceiver is not Lucifer. He's already defeated. The greatest deceiver is you and I. We'll actually convince ourselves of a tradition and a lie to make sure that we're okay with ourselves. But whether you think you're okay with yourself or not, if the word of God is opposite of what you're saying, then you're believing a lie and not the truth. And when you start believing a lie, then your whole life becomes something that is not truth. When you start basing your belief system, your yesterday's beliefs, on where God's word is clear, you'll have to start structuring and restructuring your whole life to believe lies. Because one lie, come on, you know this, one lie always creates a new one. You ever met somebody who lies so much they're not even sure they lie anymore? Come on, you look at them and they just lied to you 3 times. And you'll come and say, ew. And I've confronted a few of them. You do know that you just said this. Well, I meant it. And they create a new lie to try to fix the last lie. How many of you know that don't work? So why would we believe? Why would we place the yesterday's traditions and supersede them above the word of God? It will consistently produce new lies. And the Bible says very clearly, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Some people, they believe what they're taught and they've never searched it out. I'm almost done. That's true. And you got to understand that I could preach 2 hours. That's not a problem. That I know that's nice, but until the children's church, people kill me in the back room. Pastor, I know what you're preaching. I know you read the verses. But I know what I've experienced. I know what I've gone through. I know I prayed for Aunt Lucy, and Aunt Lucy, I believed God would be healed, and she died, so I do not believe that it's God's will to always heal. Well, Pastor, I'm a tither, and I'm a seeder, and I've gone through some financial problems. I don't believe your statements from yesterday. When you base your today and your destiny on your experiences, you will always be living a life of teeter-totter. There will be no consistency. There will be no constancy. I'm not sure if that's a word, but that was a good one too. There will be, is that a word or not? Someone? No, it's not. It's not the problem. I did a word down there called floricity, and it's actually a word. Floristic. It was a word. I was hoping that one was. Can someone look that up? Google that. Is this not? How many of us, literally, I'm not even kidding you. I've been doing this a long time, and sadly enough, I watch more people self-destruct, more people self-sabotage, because they would rather believe their experiences over the truth. When you do that, you have an automatic death sentence. Now, you can still go to heaven, by the way, but you'll live like hell down here. You'll always live trouble, trial, tribulation. You'll always be the moaner and the groaner. You'll always be the one, where's God? And God say, no, where are you? Walk by faith and not by sight. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You see, we've got to make a decision. Do I believe my experience is above the word? Well, you know, you need to be realistic. Really, aren't you glad that Moses wasn't realistic? Because all the children of Israel would have been stomped down by the Egyptian army. And God said, come on now, touch the rod to the water. And all of a sudden, unrealistic. Oh, that's right. Supernatural. Our God is not natural. Our God is not a man. Our God is supernatural. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Woo! The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. When he struck that, the waters rolled back. Well, Pastor, you need to understand. History says there was only 2 inches of water at that point in time in history. Glory to God, the entire Egyptian army and all their horses were drowned in 2 inches of water. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you try to twist it. The fact is that when God moves, he can make something out of nothing. Can I hear an amen? But if you live according to your experiences, you only have what you had yesterday. Yesterday. Oh, your troubles seem so far away. You're coaching me over here. What happens is you end up being a mumbler. That's all you got. Or you go smoke weed. You know, I just gonna say this. This is free, by the way. Smoking pot is a sin. Okay, just want you to know that. You know, we got folk in this house that are in their 50s and 60s still smoking weed. Well, it gives me peace. No, I'm sorry. That's where you know it's sin. When you need something that's fake, something that is not the Holy Spirit to bring you peace, you know that you got a piece of something, but you don't got a piece of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Pass the offering plate. Pass the offering plate, quick. Almost done. So many people steal from their future because their past teachings of life. They put more stock in their tradition yesterday that was established by human or experiences rather than establishing their today on the word of God. This is where there has to become a transformation. Every one of us come to these crossroads consistently. I do too. I was brought up in a household. My house, I love my mom, my dad, but my house was a poverty house. It's how they thought. It's how they lived. It was poverty thinking constantly. You know, there was no talk about God blessing. It was always just, well, we need food. Hope we survive. Hope we make it by. Sadly enough, the church back in those days, they didn't teach about God's principles of sowing and reaping. It was just survival. Oh, pray that Jesus, oh,
First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Oh, the Bible declares that the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together within the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, Jesus, please come so fast, because my life is hell.
Some of you were taught the same way I was. It was survival Christianity. Not living how God wants you to live. Show me a poor patriarch, by the way. Show me when the children of Israel, the only time the children of Israel weren't blessed with abundance was when they were in rebellion against God. So if you're not being blessed, you might want to check yourself. Traditions will always kill you. We must transform our minds. This is why the devil's trying to keep you out of the Word of God. This is why the devil's trying to keep you out of church. This is why he's keeping you out of rock solid faith. I'll tell you why. Because the dumber he can keep you, the more he has you shackled. Think about it. The dumber the country keeps the people, the more power they have over them. When you don't know your constitutional rights, I was watching last night, Live PD. I like that show. And there were some bicyclists. Didn't do anything wrong. They didn't have a flashing light. And they asked for certain information from them. And by law, these people weren't obligated to give them anything. But they made them feel like they were. You know, the devil will make you feel like you deserve something when God has paid for something completely different through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you're ignorant, you'll never know. We must be transformed. That's Romans chapter 12. I want to read it to you real quickly. 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. These are the crossroads we come to, whether you'll believe God's word is absolute truth or your traditions are greater. This is where we're at right now, every one of us. There's not one of us in this room, not one of us in this room that are out of this one. Not one that's going to watch by television, not one that's watching by live stream. Every one of us are on the same platform right here. We come to these crossroads every single day where God's word is speaking to us. God's word is directing us. God's word is clear to us. God says, this is what I want you to do. But we have a collision, and the crossroads that are in front are simply this. Will I believe that God's word is absolute truth, or will I believe God's word is truth according to my traditions? Because when we believe our traditions above the word of God, the Bible says we nullify, which means cancel out, God. Some of you are okay with that. Because you've got enough of God, you're thinking to get to heaven. But you don't want too much of God, because he'll cramp your lifestyle. What God has for you is something that is so amazing. The Bible says it this way: your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your heart cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. I'm talking like God said, I want to bless you abundantly above all you could ask and or even in your mind imagine. Well, you know, in my heart, I'm just making it glory. The bishop was telling a story about a woman. Got to finish in a few minutes. About a woman who, her husband left her. She had children, and she had nothing. She had nothing. They had repoed her car. She had nothing. And he stood up, and he started sharing about learning how to be a sower. Remember, tithes, all tithes does is that's prepare the grounds. The folks that want the abundant blessing from your tithe, again, are without teaching. It's seed that brings harvest, not tithe. And so he said to the church, I'd love you to be able, I want everyone here to ask the Holy Spirit what he would have you sow every single day. You know, and he said, maybe $1 a day and maybe 50, you know. So he went and then the lady came up to him after and she says, you know, Pastor, I don't have $1 a day. I can't do $1 a day. And he says, well, do 50 cents. She says, I can't do 50 cents a day because if I do 50 cents a day at the end of that week, That's enough to buy a gallon of milk for my kids. He said, then do a penny a day. Some of your traditions already are trying to rise up above. Even as I'm talking. Isn't it amazing how our flesh hates God's word so deeply, desperately? She started giving a penny a day. He said he checked it after like 3 months. She was up to a dime a day. Then she was up to 50 cents a day. Then she was up to $1 a day. And then somebody gave her a car. Just walked up and said, I want to give you a car. I just feel the Holy Spirit tell me to give you a car. And it wasn't a used car. They went out and bought her a brand new car off the lot. Then she had an aunt who she had never met before. Let me tell you, seed time and harvest always works. That's why the Bible says, don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. So all of a sudden, she has a long-lost aunt call her and say, listen, I know you don't know me, but you're my only living relative. I want to move to Florida. Is it possible that you will move in with me? We'll buy a condo. You can live with me. And when I pass on, you can have everything I have. She went from sowing a penny a day to having a brand new car to having an amazing job to having her own condo on the beach. How is that possible? It's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. But if she had looked at the bishop and said, listen, I'm not even going to give a penny a day. I need it more than God. God don't need your money. God needs your faith. That's why I always my heart breaks for people that don't tithe. People think I get mad when people don't tithe. I don't get mad when you don't tithe. Listen, it's not my life. I'm sad because I know what's going to happen in your life. That means you're not postured for blessing from heaven. Well, I don't have enough. You don't not have enough. You don't not have enough. Right? That was right. Not. Knock, knock. I want to end with this. I'm going to read it because I think it's good. Stop writing your own Bibles from your yesterday. I just want to repeat that one more time. Stop writing your own Bibles. You'll be blown away. How many of us have our own Bible? Well, I don't believe that one. Oh, that one's good. Nope. That's a sin? I do that one. Nope. Be faithful to God? No. Oh, my goodness. I love that one. We write our own Bibles. With our own traditions, with our own concepts. And the Bible says, the traditions of man nullify the word of God, which means make it of no effect. That means you tell God, shut up, sit down, I got this thing. And let's be honest, it takes a millisecond to lose that thing. Rhonda's ma. I was the only one on the planet allowed to call her Edith, her real name. She called us on a Friday morning, and we were getting ready to go out on a date, and she said, Rhonda, I can't get out of my car. And Rhonda said, what do you mean you can't get out of your car? She said, I'm so sick, I can't even get out of my car. And we said, call an ambulance. And Edith said, that will cost me $750. I said, I'll pay for it. She wouldn't call an ambulance. We called the ambulance. Now listen now. She was at our house almost every day. She actually helped us raise the children. She lived with us for over 3 years. We're not talking like a distant relative. We're talking somebody tight, close. Rhonda and Ma, they loved each other. And all of a sudden, ambulance gets there. She's at the Arnott. And within 10 hours, she's dead. Who would have thought? Life changed in 10 hours. Why would we actually believe that our traditions are more powerful that we've created when a life can change in seconds? I don't remember who it was, but it was 1 year during church, during a church service, someone got a phone call that their house had burned down while they were at church. They were at church. How quick our life changes. Yet we hold our traditions above the Word of God. I like this one. I don't like this one. This is not what I believe. This is not what I was taught. This is not what this. This is not what that. And I'm telling you, your yesterday's traditions will nullify your today's supernatural. Your yesterday's beliefs will destroy your tomorrow's destiny. And I don't know about you. I'm not willing to allow dead time to own me to where I can't lay hold of life. I want life. I want life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. You can't have abundant life when you're living in your old traditions. Honestly, I have to cut this short. So I'm just going to read it. Here we go. Stop writing your own Bibles from your yesterdays and start living in the life-giving truth of your today by walking in the Word of God. Every one of us have a collision right now. I started the collision this morning by changing your chairs up. And that collision might be still in your life. Today you might be struggling with salvation. Well, I'm a good person. I'm sincere. I haven't hurt anybody. I'm a good person. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids. All's good. I go to church when I feel convenience. You know, I love God. All of that are good traditions, but the Bible says that even the demons believe in God and tremble. And the Word of God teaches that if you love me, keep my commandments. The Word of God teaches that if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. The Word of God teaches that if you do not confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall not be saved if you don't confess it. The Word of God declares it doesn't matter how many times you go to church. It matters if you're walking in relationship. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That we walk by faith and not by sight. That I've been made more than a conqueror, not somebody just living in a life of survival. That God heals the brokenhearted. That God heals and sets the captives free. That God will break the bondage. That there's no devil in hell that is stronger than Jesus and the name that's above every single name. You see, we are not walking weak. We are walking strong. We are not walking survival. We are walking and thriving and bringing forth life to this world. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the children of heaven. We are the heirs of God. We are the joint heirs of Jesus. And when we actually believe that, our lives start changing the atmosphere around us. You see, the atmosphere changes by what you believe. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can have all the traditions in your head. Well, I was born Catholic. I was born Baptist. I was born Pentecostal. I was born this. I don't care how you were born. The Bible says it does not how you're going to heaven. You're only going to heaven if you're born again. John 3:3, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Don't lie to yourself. Don't let your traditions be more powerful than the word. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion or a church for you to join. I want you to join the body of Christ. Sons, and become a son and or a daughter. Today, if you do not know Christ Jesus as your Savior, maybe you're watching by live stream or maybe you're watching by television. You don't know Jesus and you want him in your life this morning. I want you to raise your hand up. If you want Jesus, you know there's a sin between you and God. You know if you die today, you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven. Today, God wants to make it sure in your life. Today, if you need Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. See that little boy? Mama, you could bring him up when he wants to come up later. Anybody else this morning, you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm not going to wait long. See, because if I have to convince you out of your tradition, then that means it's more powerful than the reality of truth called the gospel. Last call. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. As your pastor, I'm so proud and excited to be able to do what God's will is for this church. And I believe that we're going to see over 500 people born again this year at His Tabernacle through the outreaches and through internal ministry. I believe that God is going to use us in such a dynamic way that we're going to transform this region for Jesus. So He spoke to us. We're not here to be a little church in a cornfield. We're here to kick the devil's butt. Amen? Father, I just speak blessing over the people of your house. Lord, they're not my people, they're your people. God, it's not my word, it's your word. God, it's not religion, it's relationship. God, it's not weakness, but strength. And even when we're weak, you are strong. Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord, when we put our shoulders back and our heads high and share the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, our friends will be saved. Our relatives will be born again. Lord, even the relatives that hate us will be born again. But we break the power of the devil in Jesus' name. Lord, today is this church, your house. Lord, are confronted, Lord, this morning with our traditions over your word, that you, Holy Spirit, will work in our life. Only you can do this, Spirit of God. I can preach it, but you have to anoint it. And you have to be the one that brings the change internally. I pray that we will not lay our head down tonight without killing some religious cows. I pray that we'll not lay our head down tonight without having the collision of tradition. And Lord, that we will surrender to the word of God and declare truth that will make us free. Lord, I just speak blessing over your house in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare your covenant, your new covenant. That, Lord, not one will be lost to sin. Not one will walk away from you from this that's in the shout of my voice. That, God, there's not no sickness and no disease and no maiming and no wounding that will be more powerful, Lord, than you. Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that we will all prosper in all things that we do. As your word declares, I pray that you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Your covenant, God, we declare it, we speak it, we seal it. And we walk in it, for your word is above tradition. And everybody in agreement said, I said everybody in agreement said, I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you join a group and get into a rock solid faith. Is that little boy, where's my daughter?